I'm Scott Allred.
I'm Ben Taney.
I'm Trisha Coder.
And I'm Matt Ford.
This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now.
What's happening in Chico? Join us.
This is Chico Now.
Chico Now.
Welcome, welcome. This is your host, Jessica Wilkerson. I am your host every Monday. We start your week out with a little bit of conversation on families and relationships. We do that because I am a licensed marriage and family therapist. I'm registered with the California Board of Behavioral Sciences. My license number is 104464. And this week, I'm having a baby. So if these air in order of me recording them, I came into the studio and I'm pre-recording a whole bunch of shows because I am currently 38 and a half weeks pregnant. So by the time this show airs, I'm having a baby right now. Actually, this is Mondays and I'm due on a Wednesday, but this week. Okay, so, I used to do a lot of shout outs whenever I went to a business and they had extra good service, and I haven't done that in a long time. And I want to say that I have a 3-year-old, and I am pregnant, and I am 40. So, that wasn't the plan, but that's the way God saw it for my life to go. This is my second litter of kids, and I would love to say that for 3 years ago, I had Dr. Cafferata, and she's currently over at the Indian Health Clinic. She used to be over at Inlow, and now, this time around, I have Dr. Bierman, and he's the doctor that oversees the midwives out of Feather River Hospital, and I have gotten such excellent care for both pregnancies with Dr. Bierman and Dr. Cafferata that, you know, it's kind of scary when you're new to town and you don't know the scuttlebutt on who's good and who's not. And I've been here for 5 years now, but at my age, we're not usually looking for obstetricians in this age category. So you don't have the scuttlebutt of who's good and who's not. And so I just wanted to put that out there to anyone who's listening who is thinking of getting pregnant or is pregnant or just wants to know what doctors are the good doctors. I don't know who's not good. I only know the people who I've gone to. And Dr. Bierman and Dr. Cafferata are excellent. I'm just really happy with the care that I've been given. Okay, enough of that. just putting that out there. We are talking today about codependency. Last week, we talked about an interdependent relationship, and I gave you a tip on how to become more interdependent, and I almost went off on a tangent about what is codependency and how do you identify it, and I thought, no, and I stopped myself from my rabbit trail, and so I thought that for this episode, we could just have a conversation about what is codependent, and I kind of get on that tangent because I hear people say it all the time. Clients say it all the time. People in conversation will say it all the time. And I'll ask them what they mean, how they define that. And it's rare that they're using that word correctly. And they're self-identifying as codependent, or they're diagnosing like one of their family members or their friends is codependent. And when I ask them to tell me what they mean by that, I'm always kind of shocked. Like, oh, wow, that's not what that means at all. And then I have to think about, am I in the mood to educate someone right now? Because this is a social setting. usually I'll say something like, oh, yeah, that's not quite what that means. But if you want more info, I'll tell you about that later. You know, look me up, seek me out. And because no one wants a know-it-all ruining their party. So I thought this would be a good forum to kind of clear the air on that. And a good way to think about what is codependency? Am I codependent? Is my cousin codependent? The way to think about it that makes the most sense to understand is, do I need to be needed? So someone who has a codependent personality, they need to be needed. That is how they feel loved. That is how they have their identity as a generous, loving, compassionate person, is that they need to be needed. So they really favor the underdog. And that's okay to favor an underdog. And I always get my pets at the pound, and oftentimes they're not the most beautiful one there, or I get the runt of the litter because, I don't know, maybe I'm a little bit codependent, right? Maybe I just like the little guy. Maybe I self-identify with the little guy. Who knows? But codependency in a romantic relationship or in a family relationship can really throw a wrench in the happiness and the health and the success of those relationships. And so somebody who is exhibiting those personality traits, they don't feel like they're codependent. They don't feel like they're doing anything wrong. They just feel like they're loving on the people who they love and that there's nothing wrong with that. And you know what? In a lot of ways, there's not anything wrong with that. We need to be compassionate and loving. But it gets to a point where they're doing a disservice to themselves and they're enabling some really destructive behavior. And so that is where it goes from compassionate to codependent. Okay, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about that.
I'm Scott Allred.
I'm Vin Taney.
I'm Trisha Coder.
And I'm Matt Ford.
This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now.
What's happening in Chico? Join us.
This is Chico Now.
Chico Now.
Welcome back. This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now. And I just want to remind you that while I am a licensed marriage and family therapist, this is also not a substitute for therapy. So if you are struggling with your own codependence, or you think a family member might be struggling with codependency, then this is just kind of a launching point for you to be able to put a name to something or have an aha moment. But everybody's situation is so unique and so different. And just the flavor of it is individual, that going to somebody who can sit with you, talk with you one-on-one, hear your story, hear your history, hear how your life is affected, and help you walk your path to recover from being codependent or to learn how to have healthy boundaries and communication with someone you love who might be codependent. It's really important that you get your own unique individualized attention and you don't only just listen to my radio show or other radio shows and podcasts. So I like psychologytoday.com. I'm sure there's tons of other, you could just use Google in general or whatever your search engine of preference is, but I just want to normalize for you that it's okay to go and talk these things out. That doesn't even make you diagnosable. It doesn't even mean like, oh, I have to go to a therapist because I need a diagnosis. No, it just means I have some character traits. I have some personality things that I need to work on. And I just need someone who has a global view of stepping outside of my world and can look in from a fly's perspective and give me some tools for my toolbox on how I can kind of navigate this a little bit better. And actually, there is no, in the book that we use to diagnose. It's called the DSM. There is no codependent personality disorder. That is not a diagnosis. That doesn't exist. So you can even go into a therapist and say, I think I'm codependent. And they're not even going to put that as a diagnosis in your chart or your insurance or anything. You guys will talk about, you know, what you want to do. But I just wanted to put that out there, kind of normalize it for you. So I don't know why it's not in the DSM, because it's a term that is really common and is used often. But it's not. It's not a diagnosis. So we were talking about how codependency is different than compassion, right? So compassion is the people you love are hurting and you want to help them and you want to do everything you can in your power. But you also understand that they have some accountability and responsibility to themselves, to their future, to their choices, and you're not going to help them at your expense. You're not going to help them if it means that you're not going to be able to pay your own bills, or if it means that you're going to end up taking food off of your children's table, or you're going to end up losing your job because you're missing too much work trying to help them with their struggle and their journey. And you know what? That reminds me of a passage in the Boundaries books by Cloud and Townsend. And he talks about having the boundary and having, let's see, how does he put it? It's our job to help another person with their, with like the random thing that's happening in their life, but we don't have to carry their, help them with their daily load, right? Their daily load is theirs and our daily load is ours. And if something happens in their life, it's our job to walk beside them and help them carry that, but not the daily everything. So someone who has codependency is helping them with their daily everything, because their daily everything is a big something all the time. So they have addiction, they have mental health issues, they are self-destructive, whatever it is, they're abusive, whatever it is, you see the best in them and they want, you want to help them fix it, but it's part of their daily struggle. And if it becomes part of your daily struggle, you're just enabling that behavior. You're not actually helping them get out of that situation. And so it's that term started out with in the addiction field. So somebody who was the child of an addict or in a romantic relationship with an addict, they were considered the codependent party because they were usually enabling it. They were calling their boss and calling in sick on their behalf when really they were just hungover, right? They were finding a way to keep them out of jail because their addiction caused them to rob someone or what have you. But as the years and time has passed, the term has become more broad. And it's more about somebody who gets their identity from being needed. And that's just kind of really sad, right? Because you're more than that. You are worthy and you are valued and you are loved by the king and by the people around you for your inherent worth as a person, not by what they can get from you or what you can do for them. And so it's really damaging to your self-esteem, to your sense of self-worth, to your sense of identity. And so then you walk around in this haze of trying to fix everybody. And then there's people who don't want to be fixed, but you're trying to fix them. And now chaos ensues. Okay, commercial break. We'll be back.
I'm Scott Allred.
I'm Ben Taney.
I'm Trisha Coder.
And I'm Matt Ford.
This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now.
What's happening in Chico? Join us.
This is Chico Now.
Chico Now.
Welcome back. This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now. I am a licensed marriage and family therapist at Chico Creek Counseling. I am currently on maternity leave, so I am not taking any more clients right now. I won't be back from maternity leave until March 1st. So if they air this as a rerun later on down the line, then feel free to give me a call. 994. Oh my goodness, I can't think of the phone number. 410-0505. But we have an office full of excellent clinicians at Chico Creek Counseling. It's a private practice agency. So you just call 410-0505. You'll speak with Tammy. You'll tell her just like a snippet of what's going on, and she can pair you up with a therapist. And many of us there are Christians, so if that's important to you, which it is to a lot of people, you just tell Tammy that you would like someone who is a Christian. But I will tell you that our folks in our office, the couple of them that don't necessarily identify as Christian, are so amazing. And they're such good clinicians, and they really get it, and they understand our faith. And so I have no problem recommending them to anybody, whether they're a believer or not, because I just really like and respect the people over at Chico Creek Counseling. Okay. If my opinion means anything. So we're talking about codependency. And we were talking about why it's hard for you and why it's bad for you to have that personality, because compassion is one thing, but when you put your identity into fixing other people and to helping other people at your own expense, that's where your worth comes in. And our self-worth plays a big impact on the way that we act around other people, the way that we think to ourselves, and the choices that we make. And all of those impact our joy, right? And the Lord did not put us on here, on this earth, to have stress, anxiety, over responsibility for other people. He wants us to follow his commandments and to follow his teachings, but he also wants us to have this overwhelming joy. And it's really hard to have overwhelming joy when you think that your worth is tied to enabling other people and fixing them, because when other people are in their own stuff, we're just going to call it their own stuff that we're trying to fix them out of, are we going to be very successful at that? Because they're not trying to fix themselves out of it, right? We're trying to fix them out of it. And if someone isn't trying to fix themselves out of it, the likelihood that they're going to stop doing whatever it is they're doing is pretty low. So our success rate is going to be pretty low. So our self-worth is going to be pretty low. And how is that going to create joy? Right? So we keep our compassionate hearts. But then we also say, I'm not going to do this for you, because you need to suffer the consequences of your actions. That's just the natural order of things. That's why God created cause and effect and consequences and actions, right? If we protect other people from that because we love them so much, we don't want them to experience that, they're just going to keep doing that thing that hurts them, because they're going to be able to trust and know that we're going to keep protecting them. And then we're going to keep protecting them, and they're going to keep doing the hurtful thing, until one day we're not there to protect them anymore. They do that hurtful thing and they get really hurt, right? Because people get burned out. So even our people, even folks who feel like they might have a little bit of codependence, they're going to get burned out. And then the other person is going to end up falling anyways. So why not start out that way? Why not start out with, I love you, I have compassion for you, I'm here for you. What do you need from me? And then saying, I'm willing to do this, I'm not willing to do that. And if you make that choice, the consequence you suffer is going to, or the consequence you experience isn't going to be pleasant. And I'm not going to be there to pick up those pieces. But I'll still love you, and I'll still have compassion and love for you. But that doesn't mean I have to fix you or fix your situation. And so people often ask, how do I stop being codependent? How do I stop doing this to myself? How do I step out of it? Well, I feel like one of the best ways to start working on a codependent personality is to start working on your self-worth. Because the more self-worth that you can build, the more internal resources, the more internal framework, the stronger that you get within yourself, the easier it's going to be to say, well, no. No, I'm not going to call your boss and let him know you're sick. You can call your boss and let him know you're not coming in. Well, no, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm not going to go to the bail bondsman and spend the last of our savings to get you out of jail. I'm going to go back to sleep and you can figure that out for yourself. Those are really hard to do when your worth is tied to this dysfunctional choices of this other person. But when your worth is tied to your inherently good qualities and character traits, then saying no becomes a lot easier. So I want you to make a list. They're called I am statements. And I want you to make a list of all the positive things about you. I am kind. I am compassionate. I am strong. I am independent. I am whatever it is, it's you. And I want you to make the list as long as you can make it. Start reading it.